I hope all of you had a really good Christmas. Maybe with relatives and different ones. God is so good, isn't he? He gives us a lot of good things in our life. So we praise the Lord for that. I thank God for each of you who is here today. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to talk a little bit on God's work in the believer. You know, we are born again by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We become a part of the church of the living God and the body of Christ, the scripture calls it. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. God's work in the believer, without him, what would we do? We would do nothing, would we? Praise the Lord. So let's look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter, that we know was Jesus' disciple, wrote the 1 and 2 Peter. And we're going to read with chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. And let's just think about this as being little messages just to us. We are here at this time, and was written, according to my Bible, A.D. 60. This is when it was written. So, Apostle Peter, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again with a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is such a beautiful verse. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Just all of these phrases. Isn't it something how this is reserved in heaven for us who, when we love the Lord and we follow the Lord? It's there for us one of these days. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. That means there's no flesh in it. Praise the Lord. It's an inheritance, which is the opposite of just a fleshly thing. And that fadeth not away, received in heaven for you. Glory to God. We're going to go down a little bit further. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be believed in the last time. This is a wonderful thing. I hope everyone here realizes that you are kept by the power of God. There are churches, you know, that think you have to keep yourself, but we don't believe that. We believe that the grace of God is so real. We are born again, and we are saved for eternity. We are brought by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Oh, glory to God. How beautiful. And then I want us to go on to verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. And of course, the temptation can be a lot of times the trials in our life too. And the enemy will really attack us with that. And I'm sure all of you have experienced that, because that's what he does best. He's a liar. He's not anyone that will really help us as a Christian. He's a total enemy of ours. And so, praise the Lord. We greatly rejoice now for a season. If it need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, different things that the old devil tries to pull on us to make us do the things that are not of God. And then verse 7, and the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's it. When Jesus Christ comes back, all of the trials of our faith and all the things we have gone through being much more precious than gold. Even if we could have just gotten a victory in something that we've been through and lived in a wonderful place and had everything given to us, gold and all of it, it mentions here in the precious things. But we find out in our life, in our trials, that it has to be tried with fire. We go through situations that are just really hard sometimes. And we just need to just lay back on the Lord and let Him take care of us. Praise the Lord. I've told you some of my problems in my lifetime. I lost my little son at 11 months old with muscular dystrophy and never could kick his little legs. He was a beautiful child. I've had a lot of different illnesses, and my husband, of course, you know that. He passed away. And, you know, God has always been so precious and so meeting my need. He helps me all the time. He's so wonderful. Sometimes if I don't feel quite right about myself or something, you know, and I just go to the Lord and ask Him to help me, and immediately I just feel His presence, and He's with me. He's taking care of me. So it's so wonderful. So there in verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, the trial of your faith. Have you ever been tried with your faith? You've got faith for something or other, and then something comes along, and a whammy, you know, just one of those things. But the Lord gives us strength. He comes in, and, oh, it's more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. And, boy, a lot of times we feel like the fire's on, don't we? Might be found into praise and honor and glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus comes back again, He's ready to give us what we have in Him. And He will show His love for us. He does now. He shows His love and the victory that we have through Him. So it's just precious. And I want to read one more verse here. Let's turn to verse 13 of chapter 1. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So right now we're going through the trials. And if I ask you how many of you are going through trials, I'm sure everybody's got trials. That's the way it is. But praise the Lord for this verse that it says that the gird up the loins, in other words, give the Word of God the chance to really hold on to us and take care of us and prepare us for trials. It says, of your mind, and be sober, be yielded, let the Lord take care, and hope to the end for the grace that be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So see, that's pointing us to Christ coming back. He's going to come. And if we let Him be in control of our life, even when it's bad, even when there are situations that you think, boy, I don't know how we made it through that, all of those things, yet we know that the Word of God teaches us He is on our side. He is watching over us. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This verse 13, notice it says, wherefore gird up the loins. That means brace up your mind. The loins actually are down here on your body, but when you look up the word in the original Greek, it says, brace up your minds. So the devil's going to try to keep you from bracing up your mind, that's for sure. And notice it says there about the fall of man, the end for the grace to be brought unto you and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, it's not in that one. But I have written in my notes here that the fall of man was body, soul, and spirit. When Adam sinned there in the garden because he didn't want to have to give up his wife who had already gotten into the mess. So praise the Lord that the Lord worked, and that was the fall of man. And we all have victory in the Lord from that. In Romans 1:28, it says the spirit seems to refer to the mind. God gave them over to a reprobable mind. I hope we don't have reprobable minds. It means condemned minds. And sometimes when we get into a trouble, a trial or something, We maybe do condemn ourselves that we haven't done the right thing. But praise God for the victory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, in this one, this next one, I'm not going to have you look to it, but it's referred to what the law demanded in the Old Testament. I think most of us understand that people had to keep the law. The Jews had to keep the law. If they didn't, they were persecuted, they were killed, they were so many things. And all of it said and done, oh my goodness, there as we study Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the different books of the Old Testament, we see how awful that the children of Israel became. They were just so unworthy. And you know what? Here Jesus comes and they decide they're going to kill him. Oh my goodness, what the Lord had to put up with them. But it's in Deuteronomy 6:5. Jesus repeated this verse, and it's repeated in Matthew 22:37. And it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Sometimes maybe we feel like, I don't really pray, I don't really feel like spending time in prayer right now, I don't really want to read my Bible right now. But he tells us to enter in and to love the Lord, show the Lord that we love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. And he's so faithful to give us that strength. We can't do that in ourselves. There's no reason, no way in the human that we could do that. So it's impossible in the natural. Must have regeneration, what the Word of God calls regeneration. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter of Romans. We're going to read a scripture, beginning with verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. It's hard to know where to start because all of this scripture is so good. And if you haven't had a chance to really study the scripture, take some time at home and read the Word of God, because it's really, really edifying, builds you up into whatever the Lord wants you. So we're going to begin with verse 6 of chapter 8. "For to be carnally minded is death." Now, the carnal mind means that we're only concerned with our fleshliness, you know. I want so-and-so, I want this done, I want that done. And we begin to mind ourselves in our minds, I've got to take care of this, I've got to do this, you know. This is more important to me than spiritual. But what it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, because the carnal mind, that's the fleshly human thing that we have, is enmity against God. And that word enmity is interesting because it means to be hostile. And I'm sure that all of us never think about when we maybe deny something that we know is of God, and or we do something that's different, that sometimes maybe we are really doing that. That we are being hostile toward God, not doing what he wants, but it says it's enmity against God or hostileism. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So all of the things that the enemy tempts us about to do something is oftentimes very, very wrong, very wrong. I don't know that the devil does anything good. Do you? And in my lifetime, I know there's been a lot of stuff in my heart and life that over the years that we've had to just endure. And it's not easy. But he says, "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So our carnal mind, we think, I know what's right. I will do what I want. A lot of times it's not right. It's not what the Lord really wants. Verse 8, "And then they are the So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." I think all of us understand that the flesh means the side of us that is ungodly. And all of us have this. Every one of us have it. We've been born a human, and humans have certain ways that they act. That is called their flesh. We like certain things, and it's habits and things that we get into that turn out to be the flesh. So he says it cannot please God. The things that are not according to what God says, it doesn't please the Lord. He's always trying to work in us and change us. In verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Two things. The Spirit of Christ, when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, that is the Spirit that enters our life. We are a child of the living God. The Spirit of Christ is in us. That's so precious. And then later, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit especially also in our life to help us through our situations. So, when does the renewal of our minds take place? When is that? If we could say, well, I know that I'm different than I used to be, okay? So when did that happen? I wrote down some things. At the new birth, when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, that's the first step. He's in our life. He's wanting to work in us. He wants to draw us close to himself. It's just so wonderful. Praise the Lord. At the new birth, we were made a, this is another term in the Bible, we are made a new creation in Christ. We don't have to feel like the worldly people out there. We don't have to do that because we are the children of the living God. We are the children of the new creation, those people who believe in the Lord Jesus with all of their might. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. That's so beautiful. I know that I have experienced, and I think maybe some of you have, the born again of a person that we knew needed the Lord so badly. And to see when they received Jesus as their Savior, they began to really yield their life to God and walk with God and became one of all of us. It's wonderful what the Lord does in people's life. And it's so beautiful, the new birth. Another thing is a daily experience of reviewing by the washing of the word. And that is Titus 1:15. Maybe you get tired of turning, but anyway, Titus 1:15 says this, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Yes, that's the way it is. Their mind and their conscience is defiled. But praise the Lord, there's a victory that had happened. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it tells us that we have the mind of Christ. That means, you know, now we have to think about this because like the person who doesn't know Jesus, he doesn't have the mind of Christ, or she. They don't have that. But when they accept the Lord Jesus, the Lord is always here reminding us. He's always explaining, he's getting us the word. He's giving it to us so we can grow and become strong. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the second chapter. Verse 3. Now here it tells us that we all began this way, and this is the way that we begin in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, and that word, if, these words are real strange because in our text, you know, we look at it and we think, oh, conversation means talking. In this place, this word actually means conduct and lifestyle. That's what that word means. I look up things a lot, and these are in, I have books that show these things. And so, among whom also we all had our conduct and life. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, that means, you know, we were no doubt went out into the world and different things and did fleshly things in our mind. I'm sorry that I'm doing this. I've been having a little problem. It's not a cold. It's something inside of my throat and on up high where I've had surgery before. I'd like to turn there. Let's go to chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Praise the Lord. In those days back there, there were lots of other Gentiles there. That's anyone that's not a Jew. And they walked in the vanity of their mind. That means futility in the Hebrew. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So that happens in its people, that they don't keep the things really in their heart and they don't become real to them. And that's why we need to pray for one another and for others that we know of that maybe have trials and don't understand. Let's look in the book of Colossians. Now we've got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1:21, another verse. Before we knew the Lord as our Savior, we were sometimes aliens. That's what this verse says. Chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime aliens, alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now hath he reconciled. In other words, the Lord has done the job. He has accepted us as children of the living God, and we have become a child of God, and he has reconciled us. Oh, praise the Lord. He has forgiven us. He has given us this beautiful place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in verse 23, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Hallelujah. There's another verse that I'm not going to turn to. I just read it to you. It's Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we really let the Word of God that is very edifying and building up to us, we're going to be fine. The Lord is faithful. He's working in our life and everything. We don't have to worry. And we shouldn't worry anyway, should we? So in 2 Peter 3:1, it tells us, stir up the pure mind by way of remembrance. Maybe we don't think we have a pure mind. You know, there's ways of people not having pure minds because they can't think of anything but bad stuff. But in 2 Peter 3:1, it says, stir up that pure mind. How would we go about doing that? He says it's by way of remembrance. So what happened in the back here several years ago or several months ago or several days ago that was really God working? And maybe we haven't thought of that. The Lord wants us to realize that the Lord is in control. Stir up the pure mind. Stir up that mind that thinks right. We really need that. I need it. You need it. I'm not saying I don't need it, because I do need it. Praise the Lord. When we let our mind run to carnal things, constantly we leave our minds open to satanic work and to depression and discouragement. It's not easy to have a trial. And I think everyone has had trials. Like I told you, my little baby dying at 11 months old, my husband gone. Most of my, all my family, my brothers and sisters are all gone to be with the Lord. But I have Christ, and he is so faithful to me. He is so faithful to keep giving me peace and telling me that he's right with me all the time. And I just thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for my dog. She is a strange little thing. She really loves me, and she'll just do all kinds of little things, run after me and sit right by me when I'm studying and all this stuff. And I think sometimes, Lord, what is she? Because she's so different. But I'm just thankful to the Lord for the way he always works. So in Philippians 4:6, there's a verse that says this, be careful for nothing. Are we too careful? I don't think we can be too careful, but sometimes what we are careful about is something that isn't even scriptural or needed, you know. But in everything, he says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Even if it seems like it's not all that, you know, doesn't really need that kind of prayer or whatever. But I know that in our human being that we have, and that's Philippians 4:6, by the way, we do need to be careful for nothing. In other words, don't let anything go past that we haven't asked the Lord to help us with the need. He says, do it everything with prayer and supplies and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I think that's really important, that we be sure that we bring everything to the Lord. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2:2. This is one of those sermons that causes you to have to look your Bible over. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. It says that you be not soon shaken in your mind, and be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So Apostle Paul writing again, warning them and telling them that don't be shaken in your mind or troubled at situations of this earth, because they're there. Right now we have a lot of stuff going on in the United States, don't we? It just seems like one thing after the other all the time. They allowed all of these people to come here. And I know somebody got really upset at me because I said, you know, something about that, but I think that they have not really allowed and know who these people are. And that's why we're having so much murder and all of this stuff. And so we just need to just keep praying, keep asking the Lord to help us in all these things. In Hebrews 12:1-3, it says this, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The word compassed means that we're completely closed. It's just completely all around us. Can you believe that? That God is all around us? We are the children of the living God, and he's all around us. Isn't that beautiful? Seeing, wherefore seeing, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Angels, the Lord Jesus, God the Father, Holy Spirit, all of them. And so because of that, he says, let us lay aside every weight and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So whatever it is God wants us to do, let's get busy and run that race, because time is short. I really believe Jesus is going to come at any time. And the whole situation in all this world is just a big mess. Praise the Lord. One more verse, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I'll tell you this. So this is the end of my sermon right here. So I'm right here. Okay? All right. So chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it's just all around us. And he says, let us lay aside every weight. And that's interesting, because the weight there is speaking of that this is a challenge. Anything that is going to hinder us, he says, lay it aside. And the sin which does so easily beset you. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All of these things are so important, because boy, I'm a human being, and sometimes it's hard to be patient when there's trials and tests and things that haven't got better and all these things. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love those scriptures. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wonderful he is to us. Praise the name of Jesus. We've got another scripture. We'll go back to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, and this is verse 3. Now, this we'll be needing to read verse 1. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Paul is wanting to give them an example of what he feels that the Lord wants him to hear. But he's saying, bear with me in this. And then verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That word chaste means pure. And so that's the work of the Lord. He is working in us to try to bring us to that point where we are pure and holy before him. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which have not accepted, we might well bear with him. So anyway, speaking to us right there again, how important it is to follow the Lord. Our mind should be corrupted from the simplicity. There are all kinds of things in this world, you know. There's so many religions too. And some religions say, you know, this is how you got to believe. You got to believe this. And then others say, no, no, that's not right. You got to do this, you know. But we thank the Lord that we have the Word of God that we can study and realize and say, okay, what does that really say there? So the mind would be corrupted from simplicity. In other words, it's not deep enough and real enough in the meaning to, so as to understand. I have one more verse, and I'm just going to read it to you. If you want to look at it, you can look in 1 Peter 1:13. What do we do now? It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Okay, do I have loins in my mind? I never thought about having loins in my mind before, but it means down in these thoughts right here, these thoughts of our mind. Be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a very beautiful verse, isn't it? There's going to be a time when it's all going to be over. And that grace, that beautiful stuff that the Lord keeps telling us about, that there are great rewards in heaven for people who stand and work and yield their life to God. You know, in ministry, which Roy, my husband, and I have been in a long, long time. Of course, my father was a minister, my brothers, different ones. But there's a lot of things that we do in those years, just trying to gain, you know, people's lives, gain them and give them victory in Christ and everything. And so it's important with each of us that we dedicate our life to Christ and we yield to Christ and let him have his way in us. And it just will be a great blessing. You'll find how wonderful it is just to give it all to Jesus and let him do it, take care of us. He's such a just God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.